Hello and a massive warm welcome back to the Hulkcast. I'm James Rushton. Aston Villa 1, Middlesbrough 0. The playoff semi-final first leg, bit of a mouthful. Villa managed to see through with a bit of difficulty. It wasn't always easy. It wasn't always simple. It was a bit nervy as well. Danny Raza, I'm joined by you today. How are you feeling after that?
What's up, man? I'm well. You know what? It was a good first half. That's the way to look at it. Can't get too excited just yet. 1-0 lead is slender, but a 1-0 lead is good and very, very good. Because if I remember correctly, I heard something during this game saying that a team who loses at home in the first leg, I believe, hasn't gone on to win the playoffs. I might be absolutely wrong about that. If I am wrong about it, then it hasn't been for a very long time. Now, one thing to say here is that me and James haven't actually spoken about the playoffs just yet. This is the first time we're talking about it. So this is some legit interaction for you guys who are obviously we were probably actually wondering whether or not we were going to give you a podcast this weekend, but of course we will, because we're going to be looking forward to that second leg, or that second half, as some of you might well be thinking about it. Good lead to start us off.
Yeah, definitely. I think what we'll do, we'll wrap up that match, we'll preview that, we'll give you 20-30 minutes, whatever we need to do to kind of bridge the gap between the two legs or halves, as Danny put it. But yeah, mate, it was an occasion. It really was. We'll start in chronological order. We won't go into the result. We won't go into the performance. Before the match, mate, I was nervous. It was grim.
You were a little bit more optimistic than me, weren't you, last week?
Yeah, I thought maybe, you know, a 1-0 loss away from home. The Riverside was rammed, and there's only they only allocated 2,000 seats to Villa. That's tiny. That is nothing. And to make that amount of noise, you know, for 2,000 fans, it's amazing. But it rarely happens, mate. 2,000 fans, it's a pittance. So you already had that going against you. An atmosphere in football matters. Whether you think it does or not, it matters. It makes, you know, you read that shitty Secret Footballer book, I assume. I'm sure it's Dave Kitson. Everyone knows it's Dave Kitson. The facade's still there. But he says, as a professional footballer, when the crowd are backing you, you perform better. The nerves disappear. You can get to the second ball. You can take the shot. It's almost like this atmosphere, as described by horror writers like Thomas Ligotti and H.P. Lovecraft, is neither physical or mental. It's just there, a being almost that you can't sense. So atmosphere does matter in the sense it's an effort. It's not real. It's just something that pushes you. It's that X factor almost. And Middlesbrough had every right for that match to go their way, and it didn't. Villa's first goal, mate, came very quickly, very, very quickly. And of course, it was Tony Pulis versus Steve Bruce. Tony Pulis, quote unquote, set piece master. I don't know whether that's his official title or not, what he's going by these days. He got done on that set piece, mate.
It was absolute irony. And to be fair, one thing to mention is that it wasn't just that set piece that Villa were best to, you know, every occasion. There were so many corners, so many free kicks from both sides. And Aston Villa actually just looked, you know, just a class above Middlesbrough when it came to set pieces. I don't know what happened. My theory is that Steve Bruce has been working them heavily on set pieces this week, because we haven't seen that kind of focus on set pieces this season. Or not that I remember anyway. I genuinely think that Steve Bruce has been working Villa heavy on those set pieces. Jedinak was first to the ball a couple of times. And, you know, our centre-backs were doing a good job in there as well, a decent number in there. Pulis basically got Pulis. It wasn't just with the set pieces. For me, it was incredibly satisfying hearing Tony Pulis moan about time-wasting and moan about poor football on Villa's part.
He was moaning about time-wasting.
Yeah, he was moaning about time wasting. You know what? Give me your thoughts on that, and I'll see if I can find the exact quotes.
You don't need to find the quotes, mate, because I fully believe it. But how can you moan about time wasting when every single throw in that you take, and before you go behind, you're having Ryan Shotton carefully caress the football and wipe it down with a Middlesbrough branded towel for 15, 30 seconds? That's eating the clock. That's classic Pulis. Stoke, when they had no ball boys. You know, it's classic Pulis eating the clock up, like American football. You run the ball, eat the clock down. You can't moan about time wasting when you're pissing time away from the get-go. It ain't on.
Well, this is it. You know, Middlesbrough were doing a similar sort of thing, weren't they? You know, they like to play with that slow build-up play. You know, don't like to, you know, push push on themselves tend to kind of just hope for a counter attack of their own. And Pulis himself is known as a defensive king. You know, that's what he does. That's what he's good at doing, shutting teams off. And to be fair, it was a tremendous defensive display from Aston Villa. I mean, albeit I was incredibly nervous in the second half because to me, a Middlesbrough goal looked absolutely ominous. But there you go. I mean, Steve Bruce stuck as many men behind the ball as possible. And on this occasion, it worked.
I have to say, it's the most attractive display of defensive football I've ever seen because it almost worked, you know, symbiotically with the nature of the game. You know, Pulis is a Middlesbrough team. We're attacking and they were playing really dynamic, nice football. And Aston Villa holds steady. It was like perfect. Watching it come together almost made it seem so much better than it actually was. And you wouldn't say defensive football should be beautiful. And I'm not going to say Aston Villa played really, really, really well, but the defensive aspect of the game was really, it was good to watch because there's nothing better. And I think Adam Clark said this, you know, amazing Villa writer when he used to write about Villa. There's nothing better with them when you're under pressure and you watch a geezer on the other team line up a shot from 40 yards out. That, you know, it's everything came together in the right ways for Villa. But that's not saying it didn't for Borough, because Borough had so many chances to just, you know, they really did take the piss, to be blunt, by not scoring, because they had Britt Assombalonga had 3 or 4 chances where he should have at least tested Sam Johnstone. He only tested him once with that point blank header that, sorry, should have went in, but aimed it straight at Johnstone, and game over as far as we're concerned in that first half, that first leg.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, there were a number of occasions as well where we could have possibly scored another, but I mean, there wasn't many as far as clear cut chances went to. And I think the other thing when it comes to attractive defensive display, attractive defense is when you switch your fullback around to confuse the winger on the other side and basically take him out of the game totally. What Steve Bruce did to Adama Traore should have been illegal.
Masterful. It should have been
illegal. He obviously started off with Adama Traore attacking Alan Hutton on the left-hand side. Traore couldn't make it past Alan Hutton despite being, I mean, I will fully go ahead and say this, the best winger in the Championship. And then, you know, he decides to switch him onto the other side. And Steve Bruce says, well, okay, if you want to do that, we'll put Alan on the other side too. So we took out Middlesbrough's best player and they were pretty much exposed without him. I mean, Assombalonga looked okay. It looked dangerous at times. I mean, Ryan Shotton was the one who seemed to be going forward more often than anything. But yeah, no, I mean, I think Middlesbrough got exposed slightly. It's just I am just slightly worried that we go into Tuesday being a little bit complacent. That's the only thing, just based on that second half performance.
Yeah, Villa did let Fabio, the former Manchester United man who came on when Daniel Ayala went off injured. They let him have the rub of the green. You know, no one was putting in a challenge on Fabio at all. And he was whipping in dangerous crosses. And, you know, Middlesbrough, despite defence, you know, you can say what you want about defence, but football's a fluid game and the best laid plans aren't going to work. You could defend with the heart of a lion. You could defend to a tactical master plan and it's not going to stop a goal going in. You know, it's not written that you're going to block every single shot and the keeper's going to save every single shot. So defensive master plans are hard to pull off. But Middlesbrough had their chances and they wasted them. You know, when I look at that first leg, I think Villa had 2 chances and they scored one of them. And the second from Robert Snodgrass, is a curling shot from 20 yards out, was going in until Middlesbrough's goalkeeper, yeah, Darren Randolph
did well there.
Amazing save, tipped it onto the post. Middlesbrough didn't have that. They never tested Sam Johnstone in the way through their, you know, 5 or 6 chances that they had, you know, 4 coming from Assombalonga alone. Sorry.
What? So, I mean, one of my favorite pieces of play was when Adama Traore skipped past a lot of our defenders. Like he did. There was at one point in the game where he cut in and, you know, almost managed to thread a pass through in the box, but whoever the Middlesbrough forward is at the time couldn't get to it. But then immediately after that, Jack Grealish picks up the ball from defense, runs the full length of the pitch, and then just gets it wrong at the end. In what was one of the best dribbles that I've seen all season. You've got possibly the Championship's 2 most exciting dribblers on the pitch right now, in Grealish and Adama Traore. And I think that was really, really pleasant to see that from Jack Grealish, you know, not looking to be outdone at all by anybody on that pitch yesterday.
No, let's talk more about that Jack Grealish dribble, because look, despite the fact that it didn't end in anything, it didn't end in an assist, a goal, or even a pass, it ended in a wasted chance or a wasted opportunity almost. But that dribble, it was Paul Gascoigne-esque. It was someone who, there's such a cocksure attitude about him where almost he telegraphs the movement and he knows where it's going to end up. And you just see him ghost across the pitch like he's glitching out of the game, like Nightcrawler and the X-Men just poofing in and out. And these people at the Middlesbrough players, they can't do anything except slide in on him. And you say, oh, he might be playing dirty. There's nothing else they can do except throw in a late tackle and hope that it takes the ball from him. And, I can't say enough about Jack Grealish and how fantastic he turns up for these big games. You saw it in that semi-final 3 years ago against Liverpool at Wembley. He turns up in these big games, and the amount of Sky Bet awards he's collected when Sky are showing our games, man of the match every game that Sky show him on. It's incredible.
And you know what, right? I am absolutely sick to death of fans of other clubs popping up and giving it all about Jack Grealish, saying, oh yeah, nah, he's talented, but he's weak. He's talented, but he needs to, grow a pair. He goes down too easy. He's like, no, he doesn't. That, like, anybody making those kinds of comments, anybody saying that about Jack Grealish has not been watching him play consistently since he came back from that injury. His past reputation precedes him at the moment. That for us is a positive, because it means that if clubs think they're going to be able to bully Jack Grealish, and they can go ahead and try that, but it's just not going to work. You know, the amount of men that Grealish skipped past in that game, right? And yeah, he does go down. He goes down because teams commit. Right, but the amount of times when he can go down and he chooses not to, those are what are more impressive to me. I thought once again he was brilliant.
It's just really frustrating to see people. You know, when you praise Jack Grealish, someone pipes him and go, "Well, Diogo Jota's scored more goals than Jack Grealish has ever scored, and Ruben Neves is he's valued more, and Ryan Sessegnon's going to be England's future." It's almost like you're not allowed to praise Jack Grealish without someone popping up and saying, oh, someone's better. They are better. No one's disagreeing, but what we're saying is Jack Grealish is our man. We're going to back him to the hilt, because despite all that's happened, look how far he's come. And let's just say something about his toughness. He wasn't wrapped in cotton wool at Villa's academy. They had to force him to stop playing Gaelic football at age 13.
Oh, really?
You know, there's a reason why he doesn't go down. Mm-hmm. And you can say, oh, he does this, he goes down easily. Jack Grealish grew up playing Gaelic football, whilst all your men grew up playing normal football. So, correlate that. He grew up playing a contact sport. Doesn't make sense to me, man.
Yeah, He doesn't go down easy. And he almost looks like the ball stuck to his feet a lot of the time. That dribble for me was just absolutely outstanding and one of my favourite moments of the game. I gotta say that Lewis Grabban did quite well during the game as well. He was okay, I'd have to say that. But it was more the fact that he, gave Villa quite a lot of width. He did go away from his position up top quite a few times to allow the likes of Grealish and to allow the likes of Snodgrass to kind of go more central at times. But one thing I was worried about was when Jonathan Codger came on. He worries me a little bit, because that was the only negative I have to take out of this game. Jonathan Codger seems to go missing, and he has done every time he's come on over the last few games. I know he's come back from a bad injury, but if Grabban's not doing it up top, let's say we need to bring on somebody to score a goal. Is there anybody there that's going to be able to do that? Is there anybody there who's going to be able to grab that late one for us?
I think it's unfortunate that we'll have a few seconds on the under 23s who unfortunately went out of that playoff final a few hours before Villa's playoff semi-final. They played Brighton and they went out, unfortunately, two goals down. But Keenan Davis wasn't in that squad, and I thought he'd be in the Middlesbrough squad to first Middlesbrough. And I think Keenan Davis isn't someone who scores, but he unlocks some wingers. He unlocks Snodgrass and he unlocks Adoma, and he's partly responsible for Adoma dragging our side through the Maya when we didn't have Grealish. Hogan's very similar to Grabban because he'll press the back line, but Jonathan Codger looks like he's playing a completely different sport. And he has been injured, he's been out. I think this season's just going to be a write-off for him almost, and that's not a bad thing. I think Villa just brought him back and he's not in the flow of things at all, and that's no criticism on him. It just seems that he's it's not there for him right now.
Yeah, he doesn't need a pre-season. But it's just one of those where it's like, right, he's not being greedy with the ball, but at the same time, he's not You know, he's at the same time, he's not pressing the defense, and he's not. He's not taking anybody on, but at the same time, he's not helping anybody out. There was a lot of times where I thought, you know, we needed to press Middlesbrough a little bit, but maybe that was just me being nervous near the end of the game. I thought Middlesbrough had a lot of possession, and we possibly should have done a little bit more to stop that. Now, I mean, going into the next game, I just hope that we go in there with a little bit more firepower and a little bit more oomph, because we need to take another early goal in that game.
So yeah, a little bit on a Villa under-23s. They did go out to Brighton on that playoff final. I think I saw a lot of people being quite harsh on them because it was the first under-23 game they'd watched all season. It was on YouTube. There's some people saying Andre Green didn't look bothered. Callum O'Hare wasn't up to, you know, living up to the hype. I think under-23 football, you have to give it a lot of chances, and you have to, you know, be very, very fair on these players. And, you know, we're very critical at Villa of these players coming through, and I don't know why it is. But it's a minute on that, Danny.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's a shame. It's a shame because these are a lot of our players who people, you know, especially a lot of fans who do go to see the under-23s, say are supposed to be our backups for the first team and players who should be getting more chances than the first team. And when we see performances like that and when we see them not turning up, I think it just worries people a little bit because, you know, these are guys that we want to do well. So it is a shame that they didn't get promoted. But you know what? They did well to get to where they are. It's a very, very difficult division to get out of, to be honest, the PL2. The PL2 Division 2, sorry. It just is what it is. It comes down to a final game, and Brighton just happened to do better than us on the day. I've seen us get disappointed before in reserve games. I remember us losing a final to Arsenal before because they decided to whack on Santi Cazorla, which was just, you know, pretty much unfair. I just got to say, you know, it happens. It happens. It is what it is, and we'll just have to deal with it.
Yeah, don't be too harsh on the players. I think it's more about development minutes and getting back to fitness in terms of Andre Green rather than winning a game. You know, these results don't actually matter because the people who qualify, the people who are going to get Villa promoted might not be in that under-23 team next season. So what does it matter?
Exactly. And look, at the end of the day, right, the under-23 game, it's there. It's there, obviously, for the players to play some football. But the players that are supposed to be, you know, better than that, and the players that are supposed to be coming into the first team, they'll go out on loan. They'll be playing at other clubs. You know, Green didn't spend his whole season in the Villa under-23s. You know, same with Callum O'Hare. You know, some of these players go out on loan, don't they? And that's really where they'll get their experience.
Yeah, exactly. Disappointment. Villa did bring the reasons to cheer when they went, well, we haven't went through yet, but it seems we're looking a bit more positive when they beat Middlesbrough. We do have a match to preview, mate. Tuesday night, sold out Villa Park, second leg of the Championship playoff semi-final. History is with Villa, and Tony Pulis of Middlesbrough has something to prove. What are you looking for from this game?
No, I just want this to be tidy, you know, and I want us to not get overawed by the situation. I think Gareth Ainsworth, I think it was last night, it is either him or Graham Alexander. You know what? They're both the same guy. I don't know. Whatever, right? Both players have played too long. we're talking
both managers now, mate.
That's what makes it even more confusing. I think it was Gareth Ainsworth, right? The longer hair, right? That's him, isn't it?
They both got really long hair. Oh, my God. I think one of them's Scottish, one of them's English.
It's the English lad.
Okay, so it's Ainsworth.
Gareth Ainsworth, right, okay. Wickham, right? So he was...
Yes, that's the one.
He was saying during the playoffs, right, because they were talking about League One and League Two playoffs as well. He was saying, basically, you know, you tell the boys that it's, you know, that it's not an event, it's just another match, right? It's a match, right? And you handle it as a match. Don't handle it as an event or as an occasion, right? You turn up, right? Don't get overawed by it, right? Go out there and be the better team. That's simply it. Stop Middlesbrough from scoring, but concentrate on getting goals first and foremost. I think if we go in there to try and prevent a 1-0, it's just not going to work out for us. We need to go in, get a goal in, and that will put loads, in fact, tons of pressure on Middlesbrough. And then we can think about the bigger game ahead.
Yeah, certainly Alan Hutton has to replicate that job, and it will be a bit harder if Ahmed Al-Mohammadi is, of course, injured. He did pull up with that like hamstring tweak in the away leg. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, it's going to be... Villa have got a bit of comfort. They've got a cushion, but you cannot slip up in this game. Because not only are you allowing the first team to have ever lost an away home leg, well, the first leg home leg, and then one in the second leg away to get through to the final. Not only are you allowing that to happen, you're allowing Tony Pulis to have that honour, bestow that honour upon him. We can't let that happen. We can't let all this Adama hype, we can't let it all beat Villa. We can't let it be the reason that Villa are crushed.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. They need to turn up on the day, right? In my opinion, this is going to be tougher than the final for the lads, right? Because the final, you know, it'll be equal amounts of pressure and on the other team. 1-0 is a very dangerous lead. It's a good lead, don't get me wrong, right? It's a good lead, but it also puts all the pressure on Aston Villa going into that game. Pulis will be telling his Middlesbrough lads, look, you guys weren't in the playoffs all season, right? I got you there. I helped you get there. You know, somehow or another, we've managed to make it. All the pressure's on Villa. Go out there and give it your all. And you know what, Middlesbrough, if they respond to that, it's going to be a very tough game for us. I'm hoping that we stop them basically, and I think we will win 1-0. I think we'll get a goal around about the 40th minute, something like that. It'll be a cagey affair, but once we get one, I think it will demoralise Middlesbrough.
And fingers crossed, by the time we next speak, we might be booking a trip to Wembley or looking at a player final tickets, maybe, hopefully. Final thing I need to take from you, mate, is, of course, your prediction for this home leg of the playoff semi-final. Last time out, I said 1-1. I think you said 2-1 to Middlesbrough. I don't know. I know I definitely said 1-1.
Yeah.
But you may have said 2-1 to Middlesbrough. I'm thinking it's going to be 3-1 to Aston Villa.
Yeah, I said 2-1 to Middlesbrough last week. How wrong I was. And I'm glad I was wrong as well. But this time around, I'm going to go 1-0 Villa. It ain't no better prediction than the last match. You know what I mean? Might as well just replicate what happened in the last game. And I think that's what's going to happen. I think Middlesbrough will just get under the cosh basically as soon as we score. Now, I mean, that's assuming we score first. But one thing I have to say with Villa this season is we are very good at protecting leads, and I think we'll protect this one. So yeah, I'm going to go 1-0.
Fingers crossed that this lead is caressed like the most vulnerable thing that's ever happened to Aston Villa, like a little baby. I hope we can take it safely and let it foster and grow into a playoff final appearance, hopefully with Premier League prospects in place, if we can beat whoever. I think it might be Derby at this point that is looking to really jump up in that tie against Fulham and take that playoff final place. And I think it's crossed that Villa can meet them. So yeah, man, it's been a good appearance. I think this has been one of our quicker episodes, but thanks for coming on today. You can find him at DH Raza on Twitter. Find me at German Russian on Twitter. Find us at 7500 to Holt on Twitter. Leave a comment, like, subscribe, share, do your usual thing, and we'll catch you next Sunday. Goodbye.